wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey.
That certain young man. This message I dedicate to the young people of the world. You young folks are on the spot. You have emerged from behind a mother's apron strings and from under a father's rod, and you have asserted yourselves. You have demanded the attention of police and courts. Civil and religious leaders have been baffled with your problem. And now that you have reached the top of the hill, you face a problem within your own being. You are as restless as Alexander the Great, who wept when there were no more worlds to conquer. You are so dissatisfied. You are hateful. You cannot hide your distress. I offer my help. Your trouble is spiritual, and you need Jesus. He is the only answer to your predicament. But maybe you have the idea that Jesus is just for children and old cripples, but not for young people. One day a young man, a principal fella, came to Jesus. Young folks, let's watch this young man. He was a born leader, and were he here, you young folks would make him your hero, your captain, and with your youthful enthusiasm, you would rally to his gang. He was rich, too, very rich, for he had inherited riches and made some, too. He didn't throw money away, but he so loved it, he treasured it, so he could get for himself anything that money could buy. If you young folks could have seen all he possessed, you would have exclaimed, "Oh, boy!" And you would suppose that with all that money, he would be supremely happy, but he was not. For he found that money could not buy happiness, nor peace of mind. And he was so strong and healthy, he would have made a ball player for the college team. So, when he sought the Lord Jesus, it was not to get healing as others. You would suppose that without a pain or ache, surely he would be so happy, but he was not. He would laugh with the gang, but within was a burning heart, hungering for something he knew not what. And he was a ruler, even though so young. He was no office boy to take the orders of all. He was the big boss to proudly order others. Young folks, you would have envied him and said, "If I ever get there, I will be happy." But he was not. A human soul is not satisfied with money, nor gratified with authority. It has a deep need that these cannot meet. All young people will find it so. Then that young man tried religion. He joined up with the religious people of his day, studied its books, and memorized its laws, till he felt able to argue religion with anyone. Religion increased his pride, but was no answer to his inward distress. What was the matter with him? Here are some of his ailments, and young folks, they may be yours too. First, he tried to be happy while he was selfish, but found that happiness and selfishness do not live in the same heart. If one moves in, the other moves out. Selfishness breeds tormenting worms of unrest and makes happiness impossible. He wanted all his possessions for himself and was miserable. Then he was dishonest. He would not rob a bank nor devour a widow's house, but he boasted of his righteousness when he knew he was not righteous. He talked about keeping the law while he knew he had broken it. He was dishonest with God and with himself, as is every self-righteous person, whether old or young. And he was hypocritical. He flattered others to get them to flatter him. He blew them up like a balloon and expected them to make a dirigible out of him. And now that his big bag of wind had burst, he came down to earth to face the awful reality of his distress and inward misery. He was bewildered. What could he do about it? Having heard of a great teacher named Jesus of Nazareth, who told of another young man who was rich too, but ended up in a hog pen, he figured that he might just as well be in one for all the good his riches were doing him. Right then that young man said, "I've got it. I'll go to Jesus and see if he can help me." And putting his youthful enthusiasm into play, he starts to go to Jesus. Young folks, let's follow him and see if we can get him to talk. Maybe he will tell us what ails him. So he asks him, what is his idea in going to Jesus since he's young and happy? To our challenge, he answers, because I am young, I've been seeking life, real life, but I have not found it. No, not in money, nor in fame, not in thrills, nor in religion. I've gotten a kind of kick out of some things, but they pass away before you hardly taste them. I want a life that's real and solid so you can anchor to it. One you can get your teeth in. And if there is such a thing, I want an eternal life that has a permanent future and security to it. Young folks, he said it. Now, didn't he? Surely your own soul responds and says, and me too, Captain. As that young man strides down the road of decision to reach the Lord Jesus, he decided to put a direct question to Jesus and hope for a direct answer. As he catches sight of Jesus way down the road, he breaks into a run. As he approaches, the Savior stops, and the crowd gives way, while our young captain bows the knee to Jesus and in clear tones asks, good Master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? He called Jesus good, and our Lord's goodness, both to the poor and to the young man himself, he would see. He called him Master, and Jesus showed himself both Lord and Master of the young man and all he had, as well as all he needed. But first, the bluff of the young man's flattery must be exposed. And so our Lord answered him, why do you call me good? Do you not know that no mere man is good, for only God is good? Do you see me to be God, and is that why you call me good? But from then, the young man only called him Master, for his love's sin still blinded his eyes to see that Jesus was God and that he was good. And now the Lord, longing to reveal himself to that earnest young man, looked on him in love and answers, thou knowest the commandments. He had memorized them from his religious books. Our Lord named the 6th commandments that dealt with the way we should treat our fellow men. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. We see a look of relief on the young man's face as Jesus stops with these 6, and quickly he answers, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. His dishonesty and his hypocrisy did come out. So our Lord, in his masterful way, did not directly say, you sly hypocrite, how dare you lie to God? But here's the way he put it. Now remember that those 6 commandments are summed up in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So the Lord said, if you kept these, what are you doing with all your selfishly hoarded riches? Is that loving your neighbor as yourself? As our Lord put his masterful finger on that young man's sin, it was his tender spot, and the young captain winced under the convincing word of the Master. Go sell all that thou hast, and distribute to the poor, and come take up thy cross and follow me, and you will have treasure in heaven. You will find in me alone the life, the eternal life, your soul seeks, your heart craves. Sad at heart, our young captain turns and leaves, for he knew the word of Christ allowed no argument. It was final. He understood the terms. It meant to turn loose his love money, for it was keeping him from God and blessing, from Christ and eternal life, just as much as was the drunkard's liquor, the harlot's lust, and the gambler's gain. He must let it all go. This act of repentance was to be the first move toward God and toward the life he so earnestly sought, and it must be your first move toward God. Now remember, the rest of his story I supply by linking together some scripture references. Our young captain is crushed, humbled, exposed, and he seeks the seclusion of his mansion. He paces the floor. The finery loses charm, and even the sight of his money fails to make his eyes sparkle. He is torn between 2 powers. The words of Christ pierced him. Go, sell all, give it away, and come, take up thy cross and follow me. At first, the sacrifice seemed too great, but finally he decides, I will. With this, there is felt the relief of submitting to God. He starts in. One servant he sends with a gift to the poor, struggling widow with her big family. Another servant carries food to the lepers outside the city gates. He becomes so happy, he smiles with delight, as it all goes, for it's more blessed to give than to receive, as our Lord taught us. Remembering these words of Jesus, "Come, take up thy cross and follow me," he wrapped his only cloak, a linen garment, about him and starts to find his Lord. But he had gone up to Jerusalem. As our young captain arrives, he finds that his master has been taken to be killed. Devotion to his new Lord removes all timid fear, and with those words of Jesus, "Come, follow me," resounding in his ears, he presses to the very side of his Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane. So near does he follow, and so devotedly does he look to Jesus, that all knew that he was a disciple of Jesus, and they seize him. Then with that youthful strength, he tears himself loose and flees, stripped of all. In the shelter of a nearby farm home, with borrowed clothes, this young man has 3 days to consider the step he has taken. The devil chides him as a fool for all he's done and asks him, "What will he do now, since Jesus is dead?" He has no answer. He simply anchors to Jesus' words, "Come, follow me, thou shalt have treasure in heaven." Then comes the grand news. Jesus is risen. The grave is empty. Truly, he has not followed a dead Jew, but the living Son of God, Jesus the Christ. So with all the vigor of youth, coupled with the energy of his new life in Christ, the Holy Spirit within him, he goes forth to stand with Jesus' disciples, for he was certainly one of them, to confess his Lord and Savior and to call upon other young people to come to him too. What a thrilling testimony our young captain could give. My message to you young folks is just an echo of this young man's testimony. I carry it to you, the young people of the world, and I plead with the young men and the young women to now accept the challenge of Jesus Christ and to turn loose your love sin with your selfish and worthless life. Let all go and turn to the Son of God who loved you and gave himself for you, to be your Lord, to obey him, and your Savior, to trust in him. Then, no longer restless and dissatisfied, but with peace and rest in your heart, you will find in the Lord Jesus and in him alone the life, the eternal life, your whole being craves and you must have. Amen. The challenge today is, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. May this be your experience. Amen.